Mike Tagubin. Hello, friend, and greetings once again in the wonderful, glorious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. This is Bob Griggs with the Bread of Life broadcast, and we're so glad that you've joined us for a few moments of fellowship together as we again look into the Word of God and study the wonderful truths contained within God's Word. We've in our study concerning why Jesus was born in a stable and laid in a manger have gone back to the Old Testament, because we remember that the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. The New Testament unlocks truths that were hidden in the Old Testament that are hard and difficult to comprehend and to understand. But here in the New Testament, we've begun to see some things that were reflected in the Old Testament. We saw the individual need of a Savior, a Deliverer, someone, something that could forgive us and cleanse us from our sin. We saw Abel, we saw Isaac, and how that a lamb was offered in sacrifice to God for their sin. We saw the family need with the children of Israel in the land of Egypt, and how that God delivered them with the blood of the Lamb. Then we've seen the national need, and how that God established the tabernacle and gave the Ten Commandments to the nation of Israel to open their eyes to what sin is, and to help them to see and to realize they needed deliverance from their sin. He gave them the brazen altar upon which they were to offer a lamb every morning and every night, a lamb that was without spot, without blemish, a sacrificial lamb for sin. Then we've seen the world need. Every man, woman, boy, or girl is guilty of sin and needs a Savior. Again, over in the book of Romans, we've seen in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, the Scripture makes it clear that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned and come short of measuring up to God's standard of righteousness, because sin has cut us short, has brought us too short of reaching God's standard. Romans 3:10 states, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. In ourself, none of us have any righteousness to boast nor brag about. In Isaiah 53 and verses 2 through 7, we see a very interesting prophecy that was written under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God by Isaiah. As Isaiah was writing, and he wrote these words concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, he stated in verse 2, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him." That is, in his physical form, he wasn't anything different from any other man. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Yes, beloved, a description of one who would come that could deliver man from his sin. In Isaiah 64, in verse 6, Isaiah stated, "But we're all as an unclean thing." And I understand in the Hebrew that unclean thing has reference to bloody menstrual rags. That's what the best that we can produce through our own good works looks like in God's sight. And all of our righteousnesses, plural, are as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away from God. Beloved, that's the description of every human being outside of Jesus Christ. We have no hope. We're full of sin and wickedness and ungodliness and unrighteousness, and the very best we can do is polluted and corrupted. But Jesus came. Jesus came for the purpose of delivering mankind from his sin. In John chapter 1 and verse 35 and 36, we read the public announcement concerning Jesus Christ. Again, the next day after John, this was John the Baptist, who was called John the Baptizer. This next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold the Lamb of God." Do you think the children of Israel knew what he meant when he said the Lamb of God? Oh yes, beloved, I'm sure they did, for they had seen hundreds of lambs slaughtered and the blood shed for the sins of the people. In John 1:29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Oh yes, beloved, this was God's Lamb. Jesus Christ was born in a stable and laid in a manger. What a fitting place for the Lamb of God to be born. There could have been no other more fitting place than there in a stable for the Lord Jesus to be laid in a manger, an eating trough for cattle. That's where Jesus Christ, God's Lamb, entered into this world. Now consider again, beloved, the Old Testament sacrifices and the New Testament revelations that are in mind as we think about these Old Testament offerings. In Genesis 4:4a, "And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock." You remember Luke 2:7 states concerning Mary, "And she brought forth her firstborn child," her firstborn son, Jesus Christ, the firstling. Genesis 22:13, "And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket. And Abraham offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son." Yes, this ram, this male sheep, was offered in the place of Isaac. You remember there were two men that went with Abraham to go to Mount Moriah. You recall that on that old rugged cross there were two men who were crucified with Christ, one on each side. You recall from reading there in Book of Genesis 22 that it took them 3 days to get from where Abraham was to Mount Moriah. It reminds us that the Lord Jesus Christ, God's Lamb, was crucified and was in the grave 3 days, and then he arose from the grave. You remember that Isaac carried the wood up to the top of Mount Moriah, and he asked his father, "Here's the wood, but where is the sacrifice?" And Abraham replied, God will provide Himself a sacrifice. And so He did, beloved. God provided Himself a sacrifice. I could not die for your sins because I'm a sinner. You could not die in my place because you have sinned. But Jesus Christ, the sinless Lamb of God, could die in your place and in my place for our sin. And so He did. Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, meaning the Lord will see or the Lord will provide. And beloved, many centuries later, there in that very same place, God provided His Lamb to die for man's sin. In John 8:56, we read the words of the Lord Jesus when Jesus said, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." Yes, there on Mount Moriah, as Abraham offered the ram in the stead of Isaac, he saw down through the pages of time the sacrifice of God, God's Lamb, who one day would be offered in that very place in sacrifice for man's sin. Oh yes, beloved, what a wonderful picture, what a wonderful type, what a wonderful presentation of the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Yes, in Exodus chapter 12, verse 1 through 13, again, there we see this beautiful picture, this beautiful type of God's Lamb, a special Lamb, a Lamb that was tried, a Lamb that was tested, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And I'll just have time to begin to read it. I hope you will take it and read it for yourself. Exodus chapter 12, beginning with verse 1 through verse 13. "And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." This was to be a new beginning for the nation of Israel. And beloved, when a person receives Jesus Christ as Savior, it is a new beginning. Believe me, old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Till next time, goodbye.